Brilliant. Well, if you were with us this time last year, it was the first Sunday of 2017, and we were believing a year for breakthrough. How many of you know we've had a bit of a breakthrough as a church? Yeah, and I don't know whether you've had any as an individual, but I think there's people here, and they'll say we've had some breakthroughs. And this year, we've been thinking about that. What's God saying this year? And one of the things that we've been thinking a little bit about, and we're starting a series starting today on transformation, that 2018 is going to be a year of transformation. How many of you believe for that? And it's linked with this whole miraculous stuff that we've been talking about and hearing about already this morning, that we were praying about at the prayer meeting on Thursday evening. And, you know, transformation can take place in all, can happen in all sorts of different ways and very practical ways. How many of you have taken your coat off for the first time ever in this building this morning? I've got to say thank you to our guys who've been working like Trojans to try and get their heads around this heating system, which is a bit of a minefield, but they're getting there. And thank you, guys. We really appreciate it. You know, at the night of the carol service, we were locking up, and a guy ran up the path, burst through the doors, came straight. I've got to see, he's shouting. And it transpires he's one of the former Catholic congregation, and he saw the doors open and he wanted to see what was going on. And he runs in here, and there's only about four of us left in here, and he's jabbering away, jabber. And then all of a sudden he stops, he goes, the echo's gone. Now you and I can probably remember that first day we came in and we prayed on the 28th of September. It was like the echo was horrendous, we never realised. And I said to the guy, yeah, I said, it costs us a bit of money, but we've dealt with it. It's a bit of a transformation. If you go through there, cubicles are going up for the toilets. This is a bit of a transformation. Thanks, guys, those of you who are doing it. We're getting there. Don't go and use them yet. They're not quite. Get me into trouble. So I want to talk about transformation. I want to look at John's gospel a little bit this morning. So if you've got your Bible, turn it on. John chapter 1. And we'll read a few verses from there. And it says this, and this is talking about Jesus. John says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought life to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the world, the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'Someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me.' And from his abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another." Yeah, fantastic. Brilliant passage of scripture. And that little bit there, you know, verse 11 and 12, he came to his own people and even they rejected him. But my old pastor used to say, when you see a but in scripture, it's often translated blessed, undeniable truth. But to all who believe him and accepted him, he gave the right to become the children of God. Any children of God in the house today? Come on. And that's a wonderful position to be in. And we've experienced and are experiencing this incredible, miraculous transformation of being brought into this place of being part of the family of God. And if you've not experienced that, you can experience that today. But what we want to do this morning is a whistle-stop tour through John's gospel and look at eight miracles of transformation, signs. In fact, John talks about them in John chapter 2, verse 11. And some of them well-known passages that some of you will recognize and will have heard messages on. And we're going to shoot through these very, very quickly. So the first one I want to look to is chapter 2, that incident where Jesus goes to a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the festivities are in full flow, and all of a sudden they run out of wine. And for some reason, the mother of Jesus says to the servants, whatever Jesus says to you, do it. By this point, he'd not done a miracle. But she got a revelation that actually her son could do something here. Now, I don't know about you, but this situation they were in was a measure of disappointment. Now, for some of you, if there was no wine in the house, that would be disappointing. For me, it wouldn't bother me one jot. I'm not a wine drinker. You know, and here they were in the middle of it all, and like they've run out of wine. What are they going to do? Whatever he says to you, do it. You know, and I don't know whether 2017 was a good year for you, a mediocre year, a year where just things trundled on, or whether it was a bit of a pain, whether there were disappointments in the year. There was some disappointment this day. There was no wine. There was a sense that things are going to go down. Things are going to go south from here on in. But actually, when Jesus was invited in, it transformed everything. When they responded to what he said, and he said, you know, go and fill those water pots with water. And then he said, go and take some now to the master of ceremonies. I couldn't imagine how those servants must have felt, the one particular one who had to take some water out of this stone earthen jar and take it to the master of ceremonies. He probably thought his job was on the line. But the guy drank it, and he says, wow. This is amazing. How come you've saved the best wine till now? Transformation. From sadness to gladness. I don't know if there's any sad or disappointed people here when you look back at 2017. I believe God wants to bring some transformation in lives here today and through 2018. You believe for that? Number two, in chapter 4, we see the healing of the official's son. The guy hears about Jesus. His son is ill to the point of dying. And he goes to try and find Jesus and finds him. And Jesus, you know, almost is a bit matter of fact with him. The guy's saying, look, if you will come to my house, my son can be healed. And Jesus says, no, he'll be okay. Go on your way, he'll be okay. And the guy turns around and goes back home. And it must have been quite a journey because it wasn't until the next day that some servants from his own house are coming to look for him. And they find him. And they said, we've got some great news. Your son's alive. He's well. He's up and about. Everything's going brilliant. And the guy says, what time did this happen? Oh, it was about 1 o'clock yesterday afternoon. And he says, that's the time that Jesus said, everything's going to be okay. From sickness to health. You know, we just heard a great testimony from, where are you, Cynthia? Somewhere over there. You know, and the medic saying, this sort of thing doesn't normally happen. Has anybody else got any issues that the medics are saying, this, actually there's no way out of this, this is the way it is? Anybody else got anything like that? Because God don't work to that agenda. Doesn't work to that agenda. You know, we were praying on Thursday night, and one of the things we were praying about, that this place, physical place, these buildings would be known and recognized as a place of miracles and healings. And John sent an email in to the office the other day, John, off the back of that, and talked about something in your own situation. Do you want to just mention what that was about, John? You've got a walking stick here.
Yeah, about six years ago, I needed this. I could hardly walk. And today, from the bus stop, I always march to church. So this is a trophy of healing. Yeah. Not miraculous as such, but God has used the skill of
medics.
And, the people who design drugs, because they found one that worked.
Brilliant. So I think God can work in all sorts of different ways. But one thing John did on this email was send me a picture of a church on a Maltese island of Gozo, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Of a place where miracles take place. And there's just racks and racks of sticks.
Trusses, plaster casts, all sorts of things.
All sorts of things.
Bent bicycle wheel.
I'm not quite sure what that was about.
somebody's obviously, the life has been spared.
Oh, I see.
By...
So John says, do you want my walking stick? Can we believe for some more of these being left on the stage like those cardboard testimonies last week in 2018? What are you facing? Sickness to health. Number three, the curing of the guy who's paralyzed, chapter 5. You know, this guy, he's been paralyzed since birth. And he's brought to the pool at Bethsaida. And there's something very interesting happens at the pool. Every now and again, the water seems to stir. It bubbles up. And the belief is if you're the first one in after that, then you could be healed. And there's stories of that happening, a supernatural thing taking place. And he's been brought there year after year. And when Jesus shows up, he says, you know, he said, I come here, but somebody always beats me into the water. Because of my situation, my physical condition, I can't get in. I says, how long have you been coming for 38 years? Can you believe it? Some of you aren't even 38. Long-term situation. And Jesus says, get up. Get going. And the guy stands to his feet and walks out of that pool area, transformed. Absolutely miraculous. And I don't know whether you've got something in your life and you sense it sort of paralyzed you. It could be a physical thing, but it could be more. It could be something more than that. It could be a circumstance, a situation, an outlook. And you just feel paralyzed and in a place where I can't see a way out of this. And it's been going on for years. And this is my lot in life from now on. I think that's what this guy was thinking. This is my lot in life from now on. Until Jesus came in. I tell you what, you invite Jesus in, it can change everything. Dare we believe for some paralysis to be transformed to movement in 2018? Number four, the feeding of the 5,000 or more in chapter 6. You know, Jesus had gone out of town and the crowds had followed him, wanted to hear him teach, wanted to hear what he had to say. And then he turns to Philip at the end of the day and he says, where are we going to get food for this lot? And Philip says, 6 months' wage isn't going to pay for this. And even if we had the money, where are we going to get it? Because we're up a hill and there's no shops around here. I mean, that doesn't actually say that. It's just a bit of a paraphrase. Where are we going to get, how is this going to happen? How can we do this? And Jesus said, there's only food knocking about. There's 5 loaves and 2 fish belong to that little boy over there. Bring them here. Praise over it. The whole crowd has eaten. And they said there's 12 basket loaves left over when they'd finished. I mean, that's a transformation from lack to plenty. Amazing, amazing, amazing. You know, miracles of provision are still happening today. I believe we are sat in a miracle of provision. And you've been part of it. And many of you, as we said on Thursday night, faithfully given, and, you know, £70,000 in a vision offering when you include the gift aid. And we give God thanks for that and give you thanks for your contribution and part of that. And there's miracles at individual levels of provision. Do you know, I'm a firm believer, you'll have heard me say this before, many of you, if you honor God, he will honor you. If you're faithful with what he puts in your hands and you're good stewards of it, he will honor you. God will never let you down. And somebody, maybe in this place today, needs to invite Jesus in, into that area of lack, and see God's hand of plenty released in 2018. Yeah? What about this one? This is an interesting miracle. This one's not talked about very often. It's again in chapter 6, just after this feeding of the 5,000. After that, Jesus goes up in a hill. He withdrew to a solitary place. And the disciples go back down to the Sea of Galilee. They're going to get back on the boat. They're going to go back to the other side. And a storm brews up. And they say, where's Jesus? Don't know. Okay, well, let's just go. Let's just go anyway. So they jump in the boat and they row because the storm's going. And they row, it says, for 3 or 4 miles. So they're now on the lake. The storm's going. They're rowing. They're crackered. And they say, oh, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus when you need him? Right, and all of a sudden, they spot Jesus, and he's walking on the water. Freaks them out. I think you would freak you out as well. Freak me out. Freaks them out. Until he says, don't panic, guys, it's only me. And so they invite him into the boat. Good call. They invite him into the boat. And this is the bit that we don't hear talked about a lot. It says in John's Gospel that immediately they were transported to their destination. Ha! From a pace of being in distress and hard work and pressure and slogging it away and wondering where Jesus is, and then Jesus comes and they invite him in and they're transported supernaturally from where they were in the middle of the lake to their destination. How cool is that? I mean, how about in our lives? You know, it may be that we're feeling we've been in a bit of a storm. Maybe 2017 was a bit of a storm year, a bit of a challenging year, a bit of a slog. It seems like, yeah, I've been rowing for months. It's been hard work. Well, I want to say Jesus is in the vicinity. If you invite him in the boat, it can change in a moment from distress to peace and outcome that is amazing. If you're feeling overwhelmed with circumstances, God wants to step in and change it all. Transform it. A miracle of transformation in 2018. What about number 6? And there are only 8 of these just to give you hope. Number 6, the sight of the blind man, chapter 9. This is the guy who Jesus comes across and he's blind. And Jesus spits in the earth, makes some mud, and rubs it in the guy's eyes. So, now he says, go to the pool of Siloam and go and wash it off. And he goes and washes it off. And he can see. Wow. Wow. I mean, the authorities were all upset, the religious authorities of the day, because it happened on a Sabbath, which was not good in their eyes. So they were questioning, who's done this? I don't know. You know, what have you got to say for yourself? Who's the guy who's purportedly done this miracle? Are you really the guy that was blind, actually? Or is it your twin brother? You know, what's the situation here? And the guy says, a lot of things I don't know, but what I do know, well, once I was blind, now I see. He knew. And when you've been touched by God, when you've had a healing touch of God, you know that it's more than just circumstances or the... But God is involved somewhere, shape or form. And I believe God wants to do that more and more in 2018. You know, it's coming from darkness to light for him, wasn't it? We sang about it in a song earlier. Coming from darkness to light. Getting a revelation. You know, for the first... But be careful, because I'm really sat here. But what year did we get married? I'll get there in a minute. 84. Right, okay. So for the first 19 years of married life, till 2003, right? This has got your attention now, hasn't it? It's got our breeze as well. I better be careful. So for the first 19 years of married life, if I came home in an evening and it was dark, I dare not walk in our front room, in our living room, without turning the light on. Shall I tell you why? Because she used to move the furniture around. We had a 3-seater settee and 2 big chairs, a coffee table, etc., etc. And I'd come in and she'd move the furniture. If you walked in without turning the light, you'd trip over something. You'd stumble over it. Brilliant idea. In 2003, we brought 2 2-seater sofas. It really limited what she could do. However, she does think that it's time we replaced them, so it could all change again. But there's something about when you turn the light on, you can see. You can see where you are. You can get your bearings. You can understand things. You get, it's a revelation, isn't it? And how many of us now, we all need a revelation of God and who he is and what he's done in our lives. And maybe for some people here, you need a revelation. You know, you've heard the stories about Jesus and God, but you need a revelation who he is. Maybe there's somebody in your family that actually really needs a revelation of Jesus and the love of God for them. Maybe somebody at work or somebody you rub shoulders with. Hey, let's believe for a revelation. Yeah. I've told this story before. Where's Eric? He's here somewhere. Eric, where are you? There you go. I remember being doing an Alpha course some years ago now, and we're talking about on the subject of why did Jesus die, and Eric's coming along to explore the Christian faith, and I'm talking away doing this talk, and all of a sudden he says, I get it! Made me jump. Never had anybody do that before or since, I don't think. But it's like you get a revelation of who Jesus was and what he'd done. Let's pray for people to get a revelation of Jesus in 2018. Number 7, the raising of Lazarus from the dead, chapter 11. You know, somebody said it earlier, talking about the dry bones, seemingly things that have died. You know, and seemingly Lazarus had died prematurely. And Jesus was out of the area, and they were saying, you know, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. And he said, there's something more going on here. And he said to them, roll that tombstone away. Open up that cave where he's buried. And he says, Lazarus, come forth. Transformation. The guy comes out still wrapped in his grave clothes and he says, loose him. You know, maybe there's some things that you look back on your life and you said they've sort of died prematurely. It doesn't have to remain that way with God. The transformation miracle can take place. Some of the promises of God over your life that you think actually that was years ago. I'm not sure it still applies. Promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And I believe there's some promises that are going to be resurrected in 2018 in some of you guys. Let's believe for that as we step forward. Let's see some things resurrected this year. Perhaps the musicians will come back. We'll wrap this up. Final one, right at the end of John's Gospel, chapter 21, a miraculous catch of fish. Disciples have been out fishing. Fished all night, got nowhere. And they see Jesus on the shore. And he says to them, why don't you put your net on the right side of the boat? And they dutifully do that. And they catch this incredible haul of fish, having caught nothing all night. You ever been in a place of total frustration? Total frustration. And you think, "How? Where do we go from here?" I will confess something to you now. This time last year, I was in a measure of frustration, particularly when it came to church buildings. We'd looked at all sorts of things in recent years. We'd had negotiations about buying buildings, building shares, etc., etc. And at the beginning of 2017, I got our leadership team together and said, I don't know what to do. Got some of the other leaders, the group leaders, together one day and said, you know, what do we do? On a busy Sunday, we were getting too full for the school, really. And do we go multi-service, stay at the school? Do we plant something out? Didn't really have peace about that. And it's like frustration. You ever been in frustration? You don't know where we're going, what we're doing, how it's going to work out. We said, Lord, would you help us? And in April, we became aware of this place. And here we are today. You know, that's transformed my situation. It's transformed our situation as a church, where we were 12 months ago. God wants to transform some situations where there's frustration and bring some success. Huh? Anybody up for that? Well, I want us to pray. And if you associate with any of those, and I think we've got a whole list that can come on the screen, Sarah, of all the things I've just mentioned. And if you say, actually, yeah, I'd love for transformation in one of those areas, or maybe more than one, or maybe for someone in my family or somebody I know, I want to see a transformation, why don't you stand with me right now? We're going to pray. We're going to believe that this year, 2018, there's going to be some miraculous transformations breaking out. What we saw last week with all these cardboard testimonies, and we said, you know, it's like there's a number of things have happened in the last 12 months, but we're believing for greater things, for more this year, and that God will do what only He can do. We've got to do what we can do, but there's things that only He can do. So if it's you, why don't you just lift your hands in receiving mode? Say, Lord, here we are. Father, at the beginning of 2018, we come before you humbled and amazed at your love for us, at your grace towards us, at this gift of life that you've given us. And Lord, we come and there are areas represented with people across this congregation today where actually we're not sure how things can work out, but Lord, we're looking to you because we believe that you're the God of transformation. You're the God that changes things. You're the God that renews things. You're the God that revives things. You're the God that restores things. And Lord, we claim that and declare that and believe for that. And as Andy and others talked about this morning, we prophesy that in the name of Jesus across this congregation of your people, that in our everyday lives, in the mundane, there will be the miraculous. Together, corporately, as your body, as your church, we would know your gracious hand upon us. So, Lord, we claim these things, we pray these things, we declare these things in Jesus' name for the honor and for the glory of your name. Amen.